Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, family and friends. It's Monday night, and thanks for tuning into this week's version of Raising Expectations. And as you know, we count you all as family. We never take for granted the fact that you turn into the show each week, and you're in our prayers, and we're grateful to hear the way God works back in your lives and what's happening each and every week. You know about everybody on this team. We're born-again believers. We believe we're conservative political people. We believe in this nation. We love this nation. We love God. We love the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, who we know that he died on the cross for our sins. We know that he's coming again someday. That's incredible. Everybody's looking for an answer there. We found it. But in the meantime, every day as we walk through this life, we know that God's working with us. And that's why the power of prayer is working in your lives, too, as you often say. Talk about raising expectations. Yo, you should see what God did this week. So that's what our prayers are about. And we've got a very special program for you tonight, and we can't wait to share with you. You're going to hear from one of your favorites. You've already said back to me many times, bring this person back. We really want to hear some more. She loves God. She's highly intelligent in the field of politics and probably one of the greatest minds, I think, in politics today in this nation. She'd make a great help to help President Trump in the next election coming along here. So let me very quickly tell the team to you. You all know those. I'm going to start by telling you that we want you to know that Ron and his wife, Roz, are on a very special anniversary night tonight. They're not being with us. So we say happy anniversary to them, and we're glad that they're having a wonderful time. And then I'm going to go back to the West Coast where Elon Musk fires his rockets up there in Lompoc, California. And Dr. Paul Hall, he's a retired pastor. He's a theologian. He's a teacher. He's a professor in the Christian universities and colleges. He also is a man who loves God and loves people. And he's a great help, great insight, great perspective on the world today and what's happening. We love having Paul each and every week. Been my friend for 55 years. Wow, that's a long time. But anyway, we will count. Who's counting, right, Paul? So we'll keep right on going. And so we're going to go back. We're going to go together with you back to the East Coast, actually the south part of the East Coast, which is near Dalton, Georgia there, where you'll find Steph Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer. Two of our favorite people in the whole world, and there's Steph and there's Craig. He goes by Tank, actually. Stephanie is actually a renowned health and wellness coach, and she has a website there on health and wellness. She also has a great website we want to give out to you right now, and it's called Live Your Life Out Loud. She, through her health and wellness teaching, has developed a lot of people that ladies that find a great counseling from her, from God's word, and great insight and help in the things that they're doing in their life. So Live Your Life Out Loud. Check that out. Go and see what's happening there. And she is on the internet. You'll see the things that she writes each and every day. So check out her website there, and you'll find where she is and what's happening. Find about her family and about things going on there and in the lives of her boys and her whole family. My goodness. And it's an exciting thing to follow. We look forward to it. My daughter loves it. She checks in each day to see what Stephanie's writing. She's up in Ohio. So the guy who she worked so hard on and did such a great job is her husband. His name is Dr. Craig Thayer, Tank Thayer. He's 6'5". We call him Tank. because as we often say, as from our hearts, we'll call him anything he wants. At 6'5", and the way he loves medicine and cares for people. We'll never forget the way he looked at his hands once we first talked and said, I just have to hold my hands up and pray and say, Lord, what do you want me to do as a trauma surgeon? How do I understand how to save this life and put this person's life back together? His life, her life are in your hands, Lord, because my hands are belonging to you. So at that point, that's an incredible testimony. He's a great dad, and they have a wonderful family. He's also a coach. He's also a first-time author. His book is called Saved. You can get it now. It's on our website. There it is. And Saved is a book. Actually, it's exciting. It's kind of his life and his walk and his growth with God. And you'll see there, finding God in the ordinary, finding God in the ordinary things of life. Sometimes we all look at us extraordinary things, but the great thing about knowing and a personal relationship with him through Jesus is he walks you through each day. So the ordinary things of life can become super ordinary and greatly miraculous at times as you watch God work in your life this way. So you want to get a copy of this. One Trauma Surgeon's True Account of the Miracles of His Life, and he's carrying them on today. So you want to get a copy of that book, it's on our website, and you can also get led to others from there. My book also is there, Legitimate Faith. I preached a series, the beginning, the first 12 verses of Hebrews, and my mentor, Zig Ziglar, heard it, and he said, that has to be a book, and he had a way of getting that done for me, producing authentic hope. Authentic hope is hope that's grounded in facts, and faith is, there's an old saying, the faith that fizzles at first had a flaw from the first. The faith that fizzles had a flaw. This faith doesn't have a flaw because it's based in a relationship and walk with Christ. That's why we have faith in what he's doing in our lives, and that's why we have faith in our country. We believe in the United States of America. We believe in the men and women who put their lives into this nation all these years and have taken a stand. We believe in relatives in our families who hit the beaches of Normandy and Okinawa and Iwo Jima in the World War II so that we could have this nation today. And we want people to realize just how important it is to be an American and what it means to be a citizen. As Victor Davis Hanson says, being a citizen has responsibility, but a joy, the greatest it's ever been in the 200 years in our nation. We want to know what it means to be a citizen. So tonight we have a very special guest, as you know, back with us. Oh, also, we want to say we have guests watching us again, our friends that are in Uganda and also the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Mm-hmm. Two more schools there. They're tuning in and listening tonight. And we don't have one in the Middle East yet, but that's coming. They should have heard Denise tonight. That would have been good, too. But we just have them back. So we want to welcome Denise Gary Pandol. And she's from here in California. She is an incredible person and her background and what she has done with her life. I'm going to just go ahead here and remind you, maybe you read some of the material that went out. As a former U.S. senatorial candidate, this time, no telling what's going to happen. We believe President Trump will do something. She's that smart to bring him on board with her. But the candidate, Denise Gary Pandol, is coming back with a message, an incredible message from her life, from her background, and her unique insights on the upcoming elections here in California and across the nation at a pivotal point. She is a conservative America First leader and the intellectual light of truth. I believe she is exposing the fake news narrative that's prevalent that we see so often today, wherever it comes from. She has a way of flipping on the lights and everybody goes, oh, that's what that means. So we're so glad that she's with us tonight. She's like family. We want to welcome her. So we want to give also we will be sharing. She's going to share in a few minutes the what we put here. And it slipped on there, so I will go back to it in a little bit. What she's doing right now, very, very exciting, and we want to be a part of that, continue to help her. So we want to give the round of applause to Denise. And so let me start us off. Welcome to Raising Expectations. Nobody else in the world does a round of applause. That's very unique. That means you're all special. So thanks, Denise. And tell us a little of your story, and let's hear from you.
Thank you, Joe, so much. I appreciate you having me on tonight. So I want to thank all of those here in the state of California that voted for me for United States Senate. It was a great surprise when the establishment side of the Republican Party came in and introduced a candidate by the name of Steve Garvey. And Steve Garvey represents, of course, the California State GOP went after and found him and thought, well, he's a former baseball player and maybe he'll have more name recognition than Denise Gary Pama, which of course he does. I have reached out to the state GOP at California GOP and other establishment Republicans that were in leadership positions up and down the state of California, asking them to please support an America First candidate that wants to put the people of California and the nation first. And I talk specifically about what we can do to make life affordable again, safe again, secure again. I talked about making crime illegal again here in our country and here in our state, and share that throughout this beautiful golden state. And unfortunately, I could not get the establishment side to back me. And so, much to my surprise, in October, November of this last year, there was a brand new candidate in the race that we had never seen before. We hadn't seen him at the GOP convention. I hadn't seen him at the California Republican Assembly conventions over the last 2, 3 years. And so it was a surprise. I do want your audience to know that I have called the Steve Garvey people, his campaign manager, Andy, and said to him that I would be more than happy to get behind him and do whatever I could to help this Republican win. I understand he is more moderate. However, we're looking at Adam Schiff, who also won the primary. And I'm sure that your entire audience, whether they're listening here in California or across the country, or in Uganda, or in the Democratic Republic of the Congo that you mentioned, I believe that all of them, if they understood what that means to have Adam Schiff in the United States Senate representing California, they'd much rather have Steve Garvey. And
Amen.
I think it's important that we begin to unify Republicans. You know, I think about our national motto, E pluribus unum, E pluribus unum, out of many one, out of many one. And I think about that, and I think about our Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God. And we've got to come together, I think, as a Republican Party, and understand that we need to vote our faith. We need to vote biblical values. And I think about the church in the 1930s that did not stand up against the fascists and Nazi Germany. You know, when you think about the tens of thousands of pastors that were in that part of the world and in Germany, East and West, they didn't come together to really take a stand against the evils of that day. And you say, well, what evil are you talking about? Let's take, for example, energy. Let's look at that. In the Democrat, you mentioned the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Joe. Right now, we have women and children that are dying and being maimed in the mines. They're bringing up lithium ore for batteries that are that for that companies like Google and Apple and Tesla, these companies are not doing anything to further the safety and security of these women and their children that are going deep inside these mines and bringing up lithium ore. But yet, I couldn't get the state GOP to support me, a woman who was saying, right here in California, in Imperial County, we have, for example, the Salton Sea. We could bring up lithium ore right out of the Salton Sea. I talked about how Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the Republican governor in Arkansas, she's mining now for lithium ore. There are other Republican governors in the nation. We don't need to sacrifice the lives of women and children in order to have batteries in America. We can do that right here. We can provide manufacturing jobs for people here in California and get back to full employment raise the quality of living of people here in our state. That's just one example. And I think about, in terms of being a biblical voter, what does that mean? Our faith, voting our faith. You think about, the humanitarianism of Jesus Christ, the compassion of Christ. And, you have to know that he would not want us to be following a policy that would literally damage permanently the lives of women and children in countries in Africa. I think about the border. I was looking up some scripture a few weeks ago and I was brought to Proverbs 24, 11 through 12. It says in Proverbs 24, rescue those who are being taken away to death and hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. And I thought of human trafficking. I thought about the fact that if it wasn't for the Democrats refusing to follow through on Romans chapter 13, which speaks to obeying the laws of our land, because Title 8, Section 1182, Title 8, Section 1182 states clearly that it is illegal for anyone to enter the United States without documentation saying they've been thoroughly vetted and they're allowed to enter the United States, that they're not going to be a ward of the state, they've been cleared for communicable diseases, that they have been thoroughly vetted on behalf of the national security interests of the United States of America.
That's
But we
right.
have a president who has the constitutional responsibility under Article 2 of the Constitution to uphold the laws of our land. So he's not only not following Romans
Right.
chapters 11 and 13,
Amen.
but he's violating federal law. Look at what's going on in Israel today. What does Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 say? Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 says, I will bless the nations that bless you. I will curse the nations that curse you. And through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. What did we see under President Trump, who reestablished, or not reestablished, established the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, Israel's eternal capital, that's specifically identified as such in the Bible? We saw him grant sovereignty, in other words, recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights, that Israel won in a war of self-defense in 1967.
That's right.
We saw President Trump sign the Taylor Force Act
Yes.
that would no longer fund Palestinian groups because the Palestinians pay people to murder innocent men, women, and children. It's called in Israel a pay to slay
Yes.
policy. And it's practiced throughout Israel by anybody that is a Muslim Islamist, a Palestinian. It's called pay to slay. And this is their policy. Even if you've been arrested and are sitting in an Israeli prison for murdering children or the elderly, anyone, you're paid a salary. And depending on how many people you've murdered, you're paid an ever-increasing salary. So if you manage to murder 10 people, your salary is going to be much higher sitting in an Israeli prison than if you just killed one person. Taylor Force was a veteran from the United States Armed Forces that fought for you and I, for our safety and security against Islamic terrorism in Afghanistan and Iraq. He was stabbed to death in Israel in front of his wife and his master's in business. He was getting an MBA from a university in America, and they were there on a trip to learn more about startups, how startups work. Israel is famous for its economic development and in terms of startups and its prosperity in this arena. And they were there to learn from the Israelis, and he was killed in the process. It's incredible to me that our president is violating the Taylor Force Act with response to funding Hamas and funding Palestinians in Judea and Samaria or the West Bank. And at a time when Israel is fighting for its survival, the United States administration is criticizing Israel for friendly fire deaths. You know, the United States of America and every nation on the planet has accidentally killed its own people as well as civilians just because that's what happens in war. People die from friendly fire. That's nothing new in the history of mankind. And when you think about who the civilian population is in the Gaza Strip, these are people that have been handing out candy and celebrating the death of every American and Israeli hostage that's died during this hostage crisis, and has celebrated the death of every American that died at 9/11 and every Israeli that's been killed. So they're celebrating. These are the civilians. They're celebrating the torture and murder of Americans and Israelis throughout 9/11, the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, et cetera, et cetera. And now, of course, with respect to Israel. So I think it's incredible that we're not even hearing from our president that we've got the Muslim Arab population in Dearborn, Michigan, calling for the death of America. Not just the death of Israel, but the death of America. And I don't even think that the people of the United States understand that the mosques in California, the mosque in your city, in your
It's
town,
popping up.
funds Islamic terrorism in the Middle East. When I used to have top secret clearances, I was really surprised when a fax landed on my desk and the fax pointed out that mosques across America were funding terrorism against Americans, against Israelis, against Western civilization. And if I was to say one thing that I hope your audience can take away with them tonight, is that as this war is going forward, there's only one brigade right now left in the Gaza Strip. What is a brigade? A brigade is anywhere between 3,000 and 5,000 soldiers. That there's only one brigade left tonight. In the Gaza Strip. And we need to keep in mind that this brigade and the government of Israel is really on the front lines today, on the front lines of this war against Islamic terrorism. As Iran continues to target Americans, look at that base in Jordan. What is Iran doing today? They're trying to overturn the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, take control of Jordan. And this is why they're helping fund a Sunni terrorist group called Al-Qaeda and ISIS and other Palestinian groups to kill Americans in Jordan. And I think that's incredibly important because those three Americans were killed in that base in Jordan. This is the kind of messaging that the President of the United States and our leaders in the US Congress, whether it's the House or the Senate, this is the kind of message that needs to be put forward so the American people clearly understand that this war in the Gaza Strip is a war that's being fought on behalf of the freedom and security of Western civilization. Because Hamas, the Islamic Resistance Movement, is funded by Iran. It receives funding by Qatar. It receives funding from Islamist groups around the world and from mosques in America. And when you have leaders in these mosques, for example, in Dearborn, Michigan, come out and say clearly that they're calling for the death of America, you need to understand that is a serious an important message that there are cell groups that are waiting to be activated
That's right.
throughout America that are called Hezbollah, the party of God backed by Iran, that are just waiting to receive orders. So it's and the fact that we have people coming through the border is incredibly dangerous. And I believe that President Biden and Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security, and other Democratic leaders in the House and the Senate, they need to be impeached because they're violating
We have lost her.
in their votes, the Taylor protecting the America against an invasion. And the president is violating its most fundamental responsibility, which is to protect the American people. That is his chief responsibility as the executive of the United States. So while I didn't win the primary, I am praying about running for a much smaller seat because I ran for US Senate. So that was a statewide seat. And it was a lot. I'm thinking about running for a congressional seat, which is very small, right, for the House. And I'd like to ask the people that listen to your broadcast, Joe, to please consider making a contribution to me because one of my problems was I didn't have really enough resources for a statewide race. You really need to advertise. People need to hear and see you at least 10 times. I really needed the television advertising, the radio advertising, billboards, etc. That, there's just so much. There's just so, to put a billboard on Highway 5 in California costs like over $2,000 a month. To run a television commercial that's 30 seconds, 30 seconds, which I write all my own material. I write my own material. I put it out there. That it still costs, it can cost $2,700 a week. So I'm going to ask your listeners if they could please help me retire, settle my debt from the primary. I've got a little over 10,000, and help me begin to raise the resources for a congressional run I'm looking at in 2026. And we need to start doing that now. Really, we do. We have to start building that budget now. The Democrats are already starting.
Yes, two thoughts come to mind really quickly to toss them out to you. We're definitely going to be sharing this with some other strong Republican groups that you know about, especially the ladies. We're going to talk with them very much with our good friend Janet, who everybody knows,
Do you
Janet
share this
Price.
with the Christian Coalition, Joe?
I don't, you know, I don't. He's the one that's going to give me information or something like that. But if you've got it, I'll write a letter myself, and we'll make sure that we bring this up. We really are concerned. Yeah, absolutely. So if you'll send that out, we'll share that. Yeah, we'll put that word out on that. It's critical. And running as an America First candidate, you sent out a wonderful flyer, and I've shared this with a lot of people.
Thank
Where's
you.
the camera on this? There it is.
Thank you.
TJ, maybe you could put that up. Could you explain a little bit about that for us? Are all of our viewers going to
Yeah, I
see that?
started a speaker circuit. Joe, thank you so much. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, how to achieve victory and return to Republican leadership in 2024. And I was looking at some stats if I could share them real quick. Here in California, we have the near lowest voter turnout in California's history in the primary. And one of the reasons why is Christians didn't get out to vote. The Christians were only 35% of the vote. We need them to get registered and we need them to vote. They need to understand that they have a fundamental responsibility to do what, Christ teaches. I was looking up something before the show today. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Christ tells us to pray like this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you're voting for a Democrat, you're not voting God's will in the earth. Because a vote for a Democrat is an anti-Israel vote. A vote for a Democrat is a vote that will kill the unborn right up until the day that baby is born. In fact, Democrats have called for holding infants even outside the womb as the mother makes up her mind whether or not she wants to save her baby.
That's
That
horrible.
that's torture. It's torture for an infant to be aborted after, 12, 3 weeks, or excuse me, 3 months or 12 weeks. You think about what that means to have God's will in the earth realm. And if you look up scriptures and what the America First agenda is and the things that I've stood for in my campaign, like water infrastructure for our farmers, it's not God's will that people go hungry.
That's right.
America produces, or America, California provides over 500 commodities around the world. And those commodities, namely our food, we produce over two-thirds of all the fruit and nuts that are consumed globally. We consume about half of the vegetables that are eaten here in California and the nation and the world. We're the dairy capital of America. We provide milk for children to drink. I mean, our role is important in the world today, but the Democrats keep turning off the water so that farmers are going out of their biz out of business,
Right, losing everything.
and they're selling land to the Chinese who are using it and growing food in order to send back to China to fatten their population and their military as they continue to grow their military on the South China Sea and build weapon systems on the South China Sea islands that they're building, and to continue to build hypersonic ballistic missiles that can reach California. Because as President Trump, and as I, before President Trump even mentioned it, talked about the fact we don't have a missile defense system here in California that's capable of preventing a hypersonic ballistic missile from landing in LA or San Francisco or Kern County or Sacramento or any other city in our state. So
This makes
there's
me
a
think,
port.
This makes me think, Denise, as important as what you just said, Dr. Thayer was talking about that a little bit ago. But the old man on the street, it sounds interesting, but he was taking a survey there in San Francisco. He was asking the people, what do you think the problem is with America today? He said, you know what the problems are happening around here? He says, I don't know. He said, well, do you think it's because the people are just ignorant or are they just apathetic? And he said back to him, listen, friend, frankly, I don't know and I don't care. Yeah, let that sink. I don't know and I don't care. You think it's ignorance or everything? I don't know and I
Yeah,
don't care. Right? And oh,
I can.
that's it. Go ahead, Tank.
I was going to say I can support you, Denise, with your comments because in October I was in Uganda, and it's no coincidence that Uganda is on our mind in this cast. We were with the group. There were three Americans with about 75 Ugandans, and we asked them to ask us, what burning question do you have about America? Her first question was, do you think Satan is running your country? The second thing that I noticed was it's predominantly a Christian country, but every 3 miles is a mosque. They're working on getting people into their church that are dissatisfied with current conditions, and then they're going to build schools. And the schools, like the ones you've heard about in Gaza, teach their kids to be completely anti-Christian, anti-Israel, Jewish, everything.
They're called madrasas, and we have several madrasas already. We have a madrasa right here in the city of Bakersfield, where I live. I mean, there are madrasas everywhere. And to your point, I'd like to quote something that Thomas Jefferson, our third president and a former diplomat, secretary of state, said. He said, "We in America do not have government by the majority. We have government by the majority who participate."
That's right.
All tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent. If you don't vote, you're remaining silent.
That's right. That's right.
And Craig, to your point, yes, people, I believe, have not, let me look at California. We had the lowest primary turnout in our history. If people are going to remain silent, if good people do not get out there and vote for their values that represent their faith and our Judeo-Christian tradition, yes, we have people like Joe Biden in office. And I think it's incredibly important that whether a woman wants to be able to have an abortion if she's raped or she suffers incest or and the life of the mother is will possibly be damaged by giving birth, okay. The Supreme Court of the United States handed the abortion issue back to the states and said, states, it's up to you. You know, your people in your state need to vote on what you're going to do. It's a states' rights issue, the Supreme Court said. Amendment 10. Of the Bill of Rights. So, okay. So you people can still vote Republican because President Trump, and I don't believe the Republicans on the federal level are going to vote for a federal ban because because we respect the law.
That's right.
And we respect the fact that the Supreme Court of the United States has said this is a states' rights issues. Let the people in each state speak and address this issue. It's going to be up to Republicans to make it clear to everybody in this state and in every other state that an unborn infant suffers horribly the torture. Of being aborted by the end of the third month. That's our responsibility to make that clear. It's like our responsibility to make clear that children are committing suicide that are being taught transgenderism in the classroom.
That's right.
They're getting confused about who their identity, who they are, what is their identity. I mean, it's a mental illness and it's leading to more mental illness. So again, look at Christians. Look at Orthodox conservative Jews. It is important for us to make our voice heard because if we do not, more and more evil will occur in California.
Ignorance and apathy.
We have to stand up.
Don't care.
I support your quote with Jefferson, and I think it was Burkhardt. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
That's
supports
right.
Your saying, we need to stand up, register to vote, and vote.
And vote Republican,
right?
Because the voting for a Democrat is not voting your faith or your Judeo-Christian values.
That's right. That's right.
So,
Paul, you got a thought there, Paul?
You know, I was just I try to remain optimistic in the midst of all this and trust my faith and trust the Lord, and it's really difficult because you swim against the stream. You know, the first thing Denise mentioned tonight is that the establishment brought Steve Garvey forward. You know, who's Steve Garvey? I mean, what does he believe? A moderate Republican, things like that. Election integrity, another issue. Another issue for me is, let's even suppose that SCOTUS hands down a decision, but the president of the United States decides to ignore it, push it aside, work around it. We're going to be on the hook for another how many billions of dollars in student loans, you know, which means all of us are going to have to pay for it. And by the way, I'd like to have my money back, you know, for what I paid for my college and my children's colleges, you know, if that's the thing. Denise, what can we, I hear what you're saying and my heart resonates with everything you're saying in terms of Christians voting and standing up. It's sad.
Well, the churches aren't doing their job.
Well,
it's up to all of us to say to the pastors of the churches we attend, are you planning on having a registration table outside the church?
Yeah. But you know, the churches, I'm sorry, but churches have been pushed into a corner with a false argument. of saying, well, if you get involved politically, then we're going to take your tax exempt status away, which is, you know, out there. But we have every right in the world to speak up, to put out tables, to
the sidewalk is a free place.
Of course it is.
They can put it on the sidewalk in front of the church, and they can invite Denise Gary Pandel to speak, who spent every dime on her U.S. senatorial campaign. And now I'm struggling to come up with the resources to pay my mortgage. You know, I was punished for my positions, and I was loosed from a contract. I was working as an educator. And I haven't received a salary in months. So I really need help. And people don't put themselves out. They don't stand up. Church leaders should be standing up.
That's wrong.
they could certainly help somebody like myself that is coming on your program, Joe, and trying to help educate and inform people. Paul, there is an organization called the Salt and Light Council. Salt and Light Council. It's run by Dran, D-R-A-N, Reeves. And they provide instruction and classes to help pastors and church leaders and congregants understand how important it is and why they need to stand up. For example, in the Republican Party platforms, it mentions God on numerous occasions. It mentions praise and prayer. The Democrats don't mention it one time in their party platform. I mean, there's a big difference between the Republican Party platform and the Democratic Party platform today, in today's world. And so, I mean, there's things they could do. They could have me come and speak, and I'll talk to them about what it means to vote their biblical values. What is the church's role in the 21st century? And they can pay me an honorarium to come speak so I can pay the bills and retire my debt.
Yep, just like they said. Yeah.
Can I give out an address, Joe, for people?
Absolutely.
To make a contribution?
Absolutely.
So, if people have a pen and paper ready, they can send it to Denise Gary Pandel. Denise is D-E-N-I-C-E, Gary G-A-R-Y, Pandel, P-A-N-D-O-L, at P.O. Box 82162, 82162, Bakersfield, California, 93380. Or they could go on my website, my campaign website, and send it through WinRed. It helps retire the debt from the primary and help me have the resources to go forward. That's what's needed right now.
We got to get you out there to speak. You know, that, like I was saying, Zig Ziglar shared that story. You know, is it ignorance or apathy? And the guy said, I don't know and I don't care. I think that's where the nation is today. They don't know and they don't care. You need to go out there so we can get you and others to share the truth of what is going on. And man, I see some fired up pastors. We've been down a long road, but there's some fired up ones. Everybody, we have one in down in south of the border, farther down. Where am I talking about? Australia. Boy, we get Ron going on this one. God love him. You get Ron's button pushed on this. So we'll do that again to keep this going. But he very much wants that to be a part of what happens on that spot too. Also, you know, you have Bethany, Allers, what is Beth? Beth Allers, Elizabeth, right? Allers. She is a member there. Jack Hibbs is their pastor. Dr. Marianne Cintron, you talk with her also. But he would push like nobody's business on this. It would be a great spot to have you speak.
He didn't push for me. I reached out to Jack Hibbs.
Did you?
Yes, I did. And he had somebody that steps in for him that interviewed me. And she was cold. So, I was really hoping that pastors would get behind me. I have spoken at churches, and I'd love to speak at his church. And I sent him an email congratulating him and praising him on the wonderful stand, the powerful and brave and courageous stand that he took. against closing his church doors with respect to COVID. And I acknowledge that. And so I hope that maybe he'll reach out to me going forward.
Well, men like David Jeremiah also, right, guys? I mean, he and the go to doing the women's ministries. I mean, that's where the work gets really done anyway, right, Steph? But anyway, you get to the women's ministries.
Yeah.
I mean, they're some great ones.
Yes,
and
I would love
let
that.
Them share. Okay.
I would love that. We've got to bring the churches in. We've got to bring our synagogues in. There's a strong Orthodox Jewish community that's left the Democratic Party. They call themselves part of, some of them are part of Jexit, J-E-X-I-T, Jexit. And then, of course, we have the Republican Jewish Coalition here in California, the JRC, or I'm sorry, the RJC. Let's see.
If you talk to Dennis Prager, we follow that a lot, have a lot of stuff with Dennis Prager. I only know that.
If somebody on your show knows Dennis Prager, I would love to talk to Dennis Prager.
I'll just call him. I just call anybody, you know.
Well, I don't have a number to call.
I'll find it.
Yes, okay. Anybody that wants to send me any contact information, I'll be more than happy to reach out.
Yeah.
I talked to Dennis Prager's wife. Back in, I believe it was 2022 or 2023.
They're working hard now. Yeah. Well, they've taken on a big light now. They're working really hard right now with what's going on, especially in Los Angeles. The differences between the UCLA campus and the University of Arizona campus on all the questions you just talked about were astounding.
Well,
that's your key.
I could talk fluently on all these issues.
Yeah.
It's just getting in the door.
Yeah, maybe get you to make. He brings different people in to make videos, and it very much he loves doing that. So let's see if we can't find something there. Yeah, and Craig, Steph, anybody have a thought? I'm looking at our time, and man, where does time go? It flies by. I've only got a minute. Go ahead.
Thank
Steph.
You, Joe. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Just stay with us. We got a couple minutes left. We'll wrap up. Steph, you got a thought?
Yeah, I'm reading this oldie but goodie book right now called Experiencing God. A lot of churches have done it. And I was in this chapter, it was right before getting on this, and it was just about submitting our life to the Lord and how it's often hard. And so I was reading Psalm 81, and it's, you know, admonishing the Israelites for taking 40 years to do what takes 11 days. But he's just saying people will listen to me if they'll follow my ways. How quickly would I subdue their enemies? And that chapter was about, are you doing your will? Is it your heart's desire? Or are you checking what God's desire is? And so my heart just went out to you, Denise, because I know what it's like to have a lot. I know what it's like to not have a lot. And you're being faithful to what you believe God is calling you to do. And that is often a very hard and lonely position to be in. But if you are honoring what God has called you to do, there will be fruits and there will be provision. So
Amen.
I just want to encourage you. I don't think it's an accident. I was reading that right before we came on here because it's so much easier to do the world's will than it is to do God's.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, Stephanie, could you give us 30 seconds real quick? And then I'm going to close out with Denise. We'll go ahead.
Okay. We love that you guys hang out with us each week. It's an honor to be with you in the car and your ears while you're running around or you're at home, wherever you are. We just thank you for coming and hanging out with us. One of the best things that you can do is share our show. So wherever you get it, whatever platform you're on, share it, give us a review. That helps us show up in the algorithms. I don't know what happens out there, but it's helpful to us. You can also go to the website, which is bbsradio.com/raising expectations. Don't worry, if you do the wrong slash, it won't work. That's how I figured it out. At the top, you can make a donation. That's also really helpful. We have sound engineers, production people that put it all together for us. So it does take money to make it all go. You can see on the right side about all the different shows, how to listen if you want to do live. As you scroll down, there's more details if you want to contact Joe directly. You can see past show recordings. And then there's all the details about all the co-hosts. If you want to reach out to us, if you want to know about Pastor Joe's book, Craig's book, all that good stuff is in there.
There you go. Amen. Thank you, Steph. Thank you. I just like to lead us in a prayer before we go tonight. And then we're going to sign off and say thank you, okay? Father God, we thank you for who you are, because that reminds us whose we get to be. And that means as your children, we put our faith and trust in you. The bigger the problem, the greater the answer that comes from you. Does it come immediately? No, Lord, sometimes it's quick, sometimes it takes time. But as Stephanie said tonight, and you said in Psalm, and Jesus shared in person, Lord, when the road looks difficult, remind us the great Creator has it paved in front of us. Take us around the potholes in the meantime and get us to where we need to be. Father, show yourself. Be with Denise, with her staff, with her people. We know you know her heart. Help her. Speak through her. Give her the continued wisdom in what she shares with people, that people might not only hear her, that people might not only change and pay attention to what's happening, but that people might find your steps for their life and lead out and be a part of, we believe, saving this great nation that we love, the United States of America, beginning right here with California. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for hearing our prayer. Thank you for always being just a prayer away. In Jesus' name, we pray for Denise and all their team. Meet her at the deepest points of those needs, and we praise you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, can I give out my phone number in case anybody has any questions, Joe?
Absolutely. We'll get it up there.
So if somebody wants to call me and they have a question, they can do so, 661-747-1829. I'd be more than happy to talk to them about a speaking engagement or answer any of their questions. I'm more than happy to do that. It's really important that we move forward. And of course, I need your support. So thank you, Joe, for your prayer. I appreciate it. I want to thank your team, Stephanie, Craig, great, Paul. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your supportiveness throughout the interview. Thank you.
We just want you to know I got a text just now. Stephanie, Marianne, Dr. Cintron text in. Make sure you tell her that Beth Allers, Jack Hibbs, didn't help to put her in front of the people either. So you're in good company, you know. So I don't know. There must be something. But, you know, God always turns directions because he has a better highway for us.
Well, he
to
can
drive.
Change at Pastor Hibbs' heart, and you I hope it. He does. And hopefully we can do something together going forward. That would be great.
I'm going to call David Jeremiah, you guys. Let's go and see what.
That would be great, too. Thank
all
you.
All right. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in tonight to Raising Expectations. Remember, as Steph said, watch the program. Listen to what Denise has to say. Check back at past programs where she has shared and get a good insight on that. Follow up. You have the phone number. You have the material. You also know about what she's standing for. Hopefully you took down the picture with the words written on what she is as an America First candidate. And we know we're going to come back together down the road. We're going to say, wow, look what God did since that time. So, Denise, God bless you and keep you, and we'll be praying for you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a wonderful evening. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.